the Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
The Bible is always has something to say, but what we're studying in 2 Timothy, especially chapter 2, we covered it yesterday, but we're still covering some of it today. I just want to share with you four phrases that really would be helpful for us today on 9/11, and then the day after Charlie Kirk was tragically shot, assassinated. Listen to them. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, be strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verse 3, that same chapter, endure hardships. We have to go through difficulties, but that doesn't end. In verse 8, it says, remember Jesus Christ, who is raised from the dead. And then it says in verse 14, remind them of these things. Now, what things? That he died, that he rose again, that he will reign, and he will come back, and he is faithful still. Well, this is Bert Harper along with Dr. Alex McFarland, and it's our joy to be with you on Exploring the Word. And Alex, again, it's a pretty heavy day. If you look at 24 years ago, 9/11, Charlie Kirk's death yesterday, some days are heavier than others, aren't they?
Well, they are. And good afternoon, Bert, and good afternoon to everybody listening. But you know what? While Psalm 34:19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will free them from all of them, because we have hope that we know that Christ is in control, you know. And this world, as we've said many times, I love life, and there's so many blessings to be excited about. But this world is not our home, and this world is not heaven, is it? We're, as yeah. Chuck Swindoll said, in a battle across raw pagan soil.
We are. And Alex, I appreciate your call this morning. You and I talked, and we are a Bible study program. But sometimes we interrupt it because we feel like we need to pray sometimes, and sometimes it's interviews that we need to have. And on this day, you and I talked about it, and so would you mind introducing our guest today? And we welcome him, but we say thank you, and we appreciate that. Would you take it away with that?
Yes, folks, a very special segment right here to give us some perspective and insights on this day. Dinesh D'Souza is a best-selling author, renowned documentary filmmaker. Really, when it comes to the political happenings of the last couple of decades, I would say the most trusted voice of analysis and commentary that I know of. And Dinesh was the very first speaker in our summer speaker series, and Charlie Kirk was the most recent, less than 3 weeks ago. And just to give us some words of counsel and insight today, what an honor to have on the line Dinesh J. D'Souza. Dinesh, welcome to the American Family Radio Network.
Hey, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Indeed. You know, you have spoken at numerous colleges, so have I. I mean, a lot of thoughts have gone through all of our minds in the last 24 hours, but that could have been you. That could have been me. Dinesh, what were your impressions watching that horrific footage play out?
Well, it, to me, was a dramatic and horrific illustration of the degeneration of our public debate and atmosphere on campus. I started speaking on the campus in 1991 when my first book, Illiberal Education, came out, which was about political correctness in universities. And I was very accustomed to students getting agitated and sometimes yelling and sometimes running out of the room. But never once did I get into a physical fight. I would speak 3 to 4 times on campuses. I probably covered 300 campuses over the course of a decade. Never once did I worry about a bullet going through my neck. So when I saw the Charlie Kirk video, which was almost, you know, unendurable, almost unwatchable, horrifying, I realized that we are just in a different place in America, and it's not a better place.
Do you believe his death will be a turning point where even maybe the woke left will say, okay, enough, it's time to bring back civility and rational discourse?
I would like to think so. I do think that there's a certain type of very striking symbolism. I mean, a shooter shooting from a long distance away will normally shoot for the chest. This guy shot for the neck. And so what did he do? He shot Charlie Kirk basically in the throat. And in a way, for me, we shouldn't miss the symbolism of that. They were trying to shut down his voice. Charlie Kirk was not a particularly hateful, incendiary speaker. He liked to engage. He liked to take questions. But he was also willing to do it on controversial issues, pro-life, Islam, the trans issue. And I think somebody wanted to shut him up. And not only that, but to send a message to the rest of us that that we could be next. So it's very important to make sure that that voice does not, that that attempt does not succeed, and that the voice of Charlie Kirk, far from being shut down, is amplified.
Indeed. Indeed. He was a person of good humor. I mean, we had him less than 3 weeks ago for our event, and you spoke in that speaker series too. And while, you know, people lined up in the queue for controversial questions, and, you know, the debate could be spirited, but he was such a nice person. I mean, he wasn't hateful. He wasn't demeaning. He was reasonable and personable. You know, what more could he have done?
Well, this may actually have been why he was so effective, and it may also be why he was targeted. The most dangerous opponent from the point of view of the left is not the guy who yells and screams and makes threats, but is the guy who actually is persuasive. I mean, Jesus was very gentle. Jesus was very generous with his opponents. He was soft-hearted. He was gentle even with the bad guys, so to speak. And look what happened to him. So I'm not trying to say Charlie Kirk is the reincarnation of Jesus. I think you know that. But the point I'm trying to make is that the more effective you are, the more the forces of evil want to bring you down.
Dinesh, this is Bert Harper, the co-host. It's good to have you today. I listened to this, and I'm just going to make this one comment. And you said it. I wrote it down before you said it. Effective, and then combine that with patriot and Christian. You know where I'm going. You know, those two things right now are not necessarily that popular. So when you're effective as that and you are communicating it well with a group of people that that the woke group thought they had in their hand, he becomes a person that for their philosophy is someone that, you know, is hard to deal with. And so the effectiveness of him being a patriot and a Christian, that's a strong combination, isn't it?
It's a strong combination, and it's a devastating combination for people who hate Christianity and hate this country. See, in the earlier era, when I was debating these issues, we could make the assumption that our opponents and our side, we agreed about our goals, but we didn't agree about the means. We agreed we wanted to go to Chicago. We disagreed about whether to take the airplane or the bus or the train. So we were arguing about that. I think today, not only are the two sides headed in different destinations, that would be one thing, but they regard each other as moral inversions. So both sides agree this is a battle of good and evil, except they think we're evil. We think they're evil. And so when you have this kind of moral clash where we think up is up and down is down, and they think the opposite. And so as a result, it's very difficult to see how you can have a rational debate when there is no independent authority or independent basis of judgment to adjudicate between these competing positions.
For those just tuning in, the voice you're hearing is that of Dinesh D'Souza, best-selling author, commentator. Dinesh, I've got a couple of more questions, but before we go too far, give your website, if you would.
Well, my website these days is related to my upcoming new film, and it's a good place to watch the trailer. It, by the way, deals with issues of good and evil, but it deals with them in the context of Israel and Palestine and Hamas, a radical Islam, but also biblical archaeology and biblical prophecy. So the film is The Dragon's Prophecy, and the film is thedragonsprophecyfilm.com.
What advice do you have for, you know, not only churches, Christians, patriots, but especially young people? Because the momentum that Charlie created, just 31 years old, and 3 weeks ago when we were talking, I asked him how many students are engaged in the Turning Point USA chapters, and he said he didn't know, but it was well over 450,000, maybe 650,000. That's wonderful momentum for engaging young people, and I certainly hope that momentum is not lost. For those that are maybe silence and, you know, cowering back in the shadows looks appealing at this moment, what advice do you have for those that love God and country, and deep in our soul we know we need to be bold and speak up? Dinesh, what advice would you give?
Well, part of what I think we need to do is to, in a way, take a certain leaf from the left. And here's what I mean. You take a guy like George Floyd, who was a very dubious character. He had a criminal record. When he encountered the cop Derek Chauvin, George Floyd was trying to resist arrest. And that's why Derek Chauvin applied force. You can debate what happened over there. That's not what I'm getting at. What I'm getting at is the left took this guy and made him into a saint. They had a massive memorial. They had the mayor of Minneapolis weeping. They had golden caskets. They had statues. They had marches and demonstrations. They had Nancy Pelosi genuflecting as well as kneeling along with Chuck Schumer. So they took this guy and elevated him to a sort of Martin Luther King status. Now, we on the right, conservatives, Christians, we never do that. We need to do that with Charlie Kirk. That is the way that we make sure that Charlie lives on, that he is given due recognition, that he becomes a symbol and a kind of a martyr, a political martyr at the very least. So I would say, yes, give the guy the national, give him the Medal of Freedom. You know, put up a statue of him on the mall. This may seem over the top, but what I'm saying is that the left has a certain ingenuity in capitalizing on these kinds of incidents. Look what they can do with a guy like George Floyd. And if we can't do the same with Charlie Kirk, that's a reflection of our ineffectiveness as a political movement.
Indeed, indeed. We're almost coming up on a break. And by the way, I want to say this. We were to have the final installation this Sunday, and Lauren Green of Fox News, we got a call early this morning that until further notice, their on-air personalities can't be in a public appearance. So our event from Sunday night in the Conversations That Matter, that's not going to happen. We are going to reschedule, and I'll be talking to people about that. You know, Charlie was to have had an event tonight in Colorado, but Dinesh, I want to ask you this for, like, yourself and others. I think about Frank Turek and others that we speak on university campuses. You plan to keep on keeping on, I hope.
Yes, I do think I'm supposed to speak at a youth summit next week when I get back from Israel. And my wife is, needless to say, you know, understandably kind of jittery about it.
Hey, we've got a break.
We called our local.
Thank you for your time. We got
thank you today.
I'm so sorry. Thank you. God bless you. Stay tuned, folks. More after this brief break.
This Sanctity of Life Month, we honor the over 66 million babies whose lives have been tragically ended through abortion since Roe. Sadly, with the abortion pill accounting for over 60% of all abortions, babies' lives are at even greater risk now. But in the midst of this darkness, there's a light that shines, and that's Preborn. Preborn's network of clinics have rescued over 300,000 babies from abortion and have prayed with over 80,000 women to come to Christ.
When I heard her heartbeat, I decided to keep her. And now my daughter's about to be 3. I don't know where my life would be without her.
An ultrasound doubles a baby's chance at life. This is Bert Harper. asking you to join Preborn in protecting life. One ultrasound session costs $28, and $140 will sponsor 5 ultrasounds. Any gift will help. $100, $200, $1,000. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
McFarland, Bert Harper here on the American Family Radio Network. We are in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And, you know, Bert, before the break, and by the way, later on, folks, we will get to calls and questions. We would love to hear from you. If you, on this 24th anniversary of 9/11, let's not forget that. And, of course, you know, a lot in the news. If you just need to talk a little bit, we're going to open up the phones in a while. But, Bert, I want to share something with you. You were talking about endure hardness and then remember Jesus was raised from the dead, verse 8, of course. You know, down there in verse 12, well, 11, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. About being dead in Christ, one of the great, great missions stories like ever. John Calvert and John Getty, who went to the Fiji Islands, and they won the cannibals to Christ. And, of course, there was this monument that when they came, there were no Christians. When they died, there were no cannibals. But they were on this ship to the Cook Islands down in Fiji, and they had booked passage to get down there to evangelize these people in the Fiji Islands. And this captain, he said, why do you want to go there? Don't you know if you go down there among those people, you'll be a dead man? And Calvert and Getty said, well, we died before we ever got on this boat. Mm-hmm. And Bert, isn't that the attitude that I am dead to the world because I'm living in and for my Savior Jesus Christ?
Amen, Alex. It reminds me of missionaries back in the 1800s mostly. When they would go to a country, they would pack their belongings in a casket because they knew that's how they would come back. They went there to give their lives, to make Jesus known. And this is the whole thing. This is what really, as we was talking about Charlie Kirk, I mean, most of the time it came across his walk with Christ was a priority. And so that was so important. And so we need to do that. And we need to remember this, Alex, that Jesus has raised from the dead. And there's some things we need to remember. There's a song, and it's some of our bumper music every once in a while. We will remember the works of your hands. And during times like this that we're going through, and we get into the scriptures here in 2 Timothy in verse 8, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to the gospel. Alex, I just say we need to remember, and we need to stand on that, stand firm in the calling that we've been called into. And you were talking to Dinesh about what are you going to do with this that's happened to Charlie Kirk? Are you going to cut back? He said, I'm going to be at this meeting. I'm going to hold it. Now, again, greater precautions may need to be made, and I believe that with all the heart, but you don't turn back. It's time to go forward. And so we need to remember, when I read Hebrews chapter 11, and I see that all the things that God brought a lot of people through, but I also see in the latter part what a lot of people had to go through. You catch, I'm playing on words. He brings us through. Now, we're always going to, if we are a follower of Christ, we're going to be in heaven. But he brings us through some trials here upon earth, even threats and hardships. But also, listen, we know that we may have to go through these things, and martyrdom is part of that. And so, listen, we remember, don't we?
Yeah, we do. We really do. And so there is this call to endure hardness. And let me say, Bert, I've had people ask me the question, you know, times are tough. Am I in sin or something? Well, maybe if you're in a state of sin or you have unconfessed sin, obviously we need to deal with it when the Holy Spirit reminds us. But I believe some of the most godly, most obedient, most faithful believers have it hard sometimes because, listen, if you're standing strong for Jesus, the devil's going to attack you. Now, we are victors in Christ. We're in a fallen world. There is Satan and the darkness. And then there are, you know, the fallen world systems that oppose God and his church. So sometimes hard times are an indication you're actually doing what you're supposed to do as a Christian.
Amen. Preach it, brother. And that's why you remember. But the other R that you find in verse 14 is remind. You remember, but you also remind. And you've already said it, verses 11, 12, and 13. This is what, notice what it says in 14. It says, remind them of these things. What things? Those things that I've just shared with you in verses 11, 12, and 13. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. We need to be reminded of that. Listen, this world is not our home. We've got a home in glory where Jesus is going to prepare, that he'll come and get us, or that at one time if we die, then we go to be that place. It also says, if we endure, we shall also reign with him.
Amen.
Listen, what is that scripture? Is it in Ephesians where it says this present suffering has nothing to compare with the glories that's waiting on us, Alex?
I love the way the King James renders it, temporary light affliction. The afflictions we have, and there are many are the afflictions of the righteous. That's Psalm 34:19. But it's temporary and it's really light. And go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No,
you,
hey, listen, this is a discussion. You're doing good. Now, the middle part of this is one of a warning, but remind us of the warning. If we deny him, he also will deny us. No, we're with Christ. We stand for him. We're his witnesses. Be witnesses and share Christ. That's what Charlie Kirk did. Listen,
he
would not back down on that. I heard a lot of his videos that he's come, and every one of them, man, he doesn't back down from his faith in Christ.
Amen.
But then he finishes up, and I love 13. It's one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. And the King James says it this way, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. Listen, why? Why would he always remain faithful? The last line in verse 13, and I want you to comment on it, he cannot deny himself.
Amen. Yeah, and that's why we often talk about the security we have in Christ, that if you're a believer, so many things happen. Your sins are washed away. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're indwelt and sealed with the Holy Spirit. And, you know, the Bible uses the term the earnest of our salvation, like the down payment. And understand, your salvation is not based on works, and your preservation is not based on works. Now, we should be faithful and we should stay true to Christ, but even if we stumble or like it says in verse 11 or 13 rather, faithless, he's not going to deny himself. Jesus doesn't preserve us because of some good thing that we're doing, it's because he is in us. And he's invested in us. And just like, I've given this illustration, but when you're going to buy a house, you put a down payment, earnest money. Now, the closing date is 30 days away, but you're not going to bail out on that contract because your name is on the document. You're your resources, even your integrity is on the line. And regarding our salvation, the day we meet Christ face to face and we get that glorified body, hey, Bert, the closing date is yet ahead, but when you trust Jesus, you're under contract.
Amen.
He's not going to abandon you.
It is assured. Now, one more thing, this is a great chapter, and you can
it
really
is.
Dig in. But notice there's another B in verse 15. Be strong in verse 1, but listen to verse 15. Be diligent. You remember over in Deuteronomy chapter 6 when God tells them, be diligently in training your children. Be diligent in what you do. Whatever your hand find to do, do it with all your might. Do it with everything you have. So here, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, again, this is it. We are to be diligent to present yourself approved to God. There's nothing wrong with wanting to serve God so that when you stand before him, you can hear his approval. Now, again, I've been a student, and I know what it is. I want to be approved of my professor. I know what it is as a child and my dad or mom telling me something to do, and I want their approval of a job well done. And so, Alex, listen, this is where we are. We're to be diligent to do that. With that in mind, I want to ask you a question. Are you going to do it half-heartedly? Are you going to do it with just nonchalantness? Or you better do it with diligence? Which one would you say you're going to have to do it with?
Better do it with diligence. And I would say even enthusiasm, you know?
Yes.
Because, and I know, look, you think about a preacher or a speaker or somebody in the limelight or something like that, but to empty the wastebaskets at the church for Jesus is a high calling. I mean, it really is, honestly. I often say this because sometimes I've been in big churches and things like that, and very, very, very often I've been in small rural churches, and somebody will say, wow, you know, thanks for coming out here to the boonies. And I always say, and I really mean it, for a saved sinner to open the scriptures anywhere is a profound honor.
Amen.
Isn't it, Bert?
Preach. Listen, if you're where I'm from, the boonies, you're at home there.
Yeah.
Not quite, but have you ever heard about the guy, no matter which direction they leave home, they're going toward town?
Exactly. So listen to this. I love verse 15 because, you know, we were talking about enduring and remembering and believing. Well, verse 15 is about equipping. Study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And the word there for rightly dividing is like, it means to make a straight cut, you know?
Right.
It's a fascinating word.
That like the plumb line? You judge it straight, but also you cut it straight, don't you?
Did you ever hear that saying, and we were always having to build things growing up on the farm, measure twice, cut once?
Yes, I
you
did.
You know, just to be careful. And folks, study to show yourself approved.
That word means diligence. In other words, it's not like, okay, I'm going to study for a test. No, it's being diligent to do so. You don't do it, accidentally, Alex. Go ahead.
Well, and let me invoke another of Paul's writing. I love the Apostle Paul. I think he's the greatest Christian that ever lived. If there were a Mount Rushmore for Christians, I think the Apostle Paul should have his image up there. But in Philippians 3:10, Paul wrote this about being a Christian, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Now, we often say, you know, that I may know Jesus and the power of his resurrection. Yay. But there's the fellowship of his sufferings, you know? Look, life is good. The Christian walk is joyful. God is so good to us. But even the believer in the absolute center of God's will might go through sufferings. And it like Philippians 3:10, makes us conformable. In other words, every hard time is an opportunity to be more like Jesus. I think about Johnny Erickson. I think about her husband, Ken Tata, and with her disabilities, but yet how joyfully, consistently, for decades, she's represented the gospel. Bert, I've talked to people who maybe for years and years they're married to a spouse who's not a believer, and they've endured verbal abuse and things like that, and prayed, and it is not easy. I know that. But do you know what? For one thing, very often God does give great victory and people eventually come to the Lord. But I guess I would say whatever we endure for Jesus and with Jesus, and we glorify God even when times are very hard, it's worth it. You will be blessed. It does conform us to the image of Christ. And I think that's just part of the journey and the assignment for a disciple, isn't it?
It really is. Alex, go back to that fellowship of his suffering. In other words, we enter in with him, okay? It's not the suffering apart from him. The fellowship is entering this difficulty, the suffering, with him. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I am with you. That is the promise, but also that is the power that the indwelling Holy Spirit of God in us is working. And so this fellowship, it is an awesome fellowship. I can't help but think of the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Guess what?
In the furnace.
Guess there's a fourth man in there. They joined him in the furnace, okay? That God is there. He goes before us. And so, listen, what a great Savior. So we're to remember him. We're to remind ourselves and others what he's done. And we're to be diligent to present ourselves what God wants us to. Well, Alex, we're going to take phone calls. And that number, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. We would love to hear from you today.
As we watch world events unfold and fulfill Scripture, it's hard to believe anyone could doubt God and His Word are real. And yet there are so many who either question or completely refuse to believe it. The God Who Speaks is a 90-minute documentary that hits the doubt head-on with evidence that proves God is real and His Word is the ultimate authority. Watch it anytime and invite others to watch with you. Just visit stream.afa.net. That's stream.afa.net.
What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love Him. 1 Corinthians 2:9.
American Family Radio.
Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Grace is found, is where.
Amen. I want to thank Brent for putting that in. We were talking about what song could we play that would help us. And we went in there and looked at all the songs that are available. And he and I both thought, man, we need you, Lord.
Amen.
Father,
Amen.
I pray that right now, you would touch our lives. We're in need of you for encouragement. And what we've done today in Second Timothy about being reminded of you overcoming death and sin, reminding us that we And even when we don't live it out faithfully, you are faithful still. So, Father, help us to remind ourselves and remember that. Help us to proclaim you as Lord in Jesus' name. Amen. Alex,
that number,
we got calls all over.
589-8840. We'd love to hear from you. And we do have some people calling in, so you want to get right to it?
Let's go to Ohio. Bob, thank you for calling.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call, Bert and Alex. I listen to you almost every day.
Thank you.
And I know that I appreciate the life of Charlie Kirk and what a great patriot he was. And there's a question that I actually wrote to him. I never got an answer from him, so I'm going to fire that question to you because it has to do with the government, and I know he talks a lot about government. Mm-hmm. But what part of our government are lobbyists? Because they seem to be great influencers in our Congress.
Yeah. Let me share this with you. Government is from God. It is one of his institutions. And I use this illustration. There's many others. But before the children of Israel were to go into the promised land that God had given to Abraham, and he hadn't taken it away, God gave that to them. That's when he gave them governance. And he shared that. Now, again, it can get out of balance. It can go. And lobbyist, Alex, they've been there a long time from what I've understood and know, but can things get out of balance in governance?
Well, they really can, and I'm glad he's bringing this up because really, you know, God instituted three things. For one thing, the home, the church, and good civil government, you know. And, of course, we've often quoted Romans 13, 1 through 7, where it talks about let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, Romans 13, 1 through 7. But I want to give a couple of verses. Lobbyists, Deuteronomy 16, 19 says this, "You shall not pervert justice, you shall not show partiality, nor take a bribe, for a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and twists the words of the righteous." And Exodus 23:8 seems to say the same thing. And I know, look, people send delegations to Washington or to the state capitol to sit down and have a conversation with an elected official. I'm not against that at all, to go and make the wishes of the constituency known. But, Bert, we've lived in a time, and I think big pharma. I've interviewed people. In fact, one of the heads of the health department under Trump's first administration who told about the billions and billions of money that really is used to buy different votes and to things like that. And so whether it's the overwhelmingly secular teachers' union or whether it's some corporation or, heaven forbid, foreign interests like Islamic CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, we need elected officials that cannot be bought.
Amen.
No matter what the lobbyist might dangle in front of them, we need elected officials that, I'll put it this way, Jesse Helms said it years ago, a politician looks at the next election, a statesman looks at the next generation.
Amen. Good word. Bob, we understood, and again, out of balance, it's like freedom. Freedom without limits, we talk about freedom, but it has to have limits. And so all of this, and it's so hard, and Abraham Lincoln said it's the great experiment, and we're still going, but we're praying that God would help us intervene and give us close 250 more years until Jesus comes back. That number, if you want to call, 888-589-8840. Let's go to Tina in Louisiana. Tina, thank you for calling.
Hi. I don't have a question. I've been listening to you guys, and I've heard a lot of verses, but I just wanted to bring up this one verse. I teach Bible to some students, high school students, and Christian school here in Louisiana, and I brought up, you know, we a lot of them, of course, all of them, were not born yet during 9/11. But this verse kept coming up, and it was just so emotional to me to share with them about some testimonies of some survivors in 9/11. But it really got to me about, you know, Charlie Kirk and the survivors in the last plane. You know, the verse just comes alive to me in John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down their lives, one's life for one's friends. And I think about how, you know, Charlie Kirk going to these campuses and speaking to these students, that, you know, these parents have children at these campuses that they are praying for. You know, some of their children that have not come back to the Lord have been raised in families, you know, that have gone astray, and they're just praying for someone to speak the truth to their children. And then, you know, these, the last words that were spoken on that plane, let's roll, and how it just, it just, it meant so much more back then. It got to our hearts knowing what these people were about to do, laying down their lives for so many of their friends, not knowing where that plane was about, the direction that it was trying to take out some others. So that verse just came so alive, and I shared that with my students today. So I just wanted to share that verse.
Thank you, Tina, for sharing it with us. Right on. Let's roll. The book's been written. If you, probably in the archive somewhere. I read that, and what a statement it was. A lot of heroes. 9/11. I was watching some videos today of it, and you saw people running away. But guess who I saw running toward it? Those policemen and those firemen. They were running into it while others were running out. And we owe a lot. Thank you, Tina. Let's go to Arkansas. Lindsay, thank you for calling.
Yes, sir. First of all, I just enjoy listening to both of you. And American Family Radio is just ministers a lot to my heart.
Thank you.
So I have this past weekend, I heard Frank Turek and Sandra Fulbright, I think, and they had advertised and apologetics for children and youth. And then with this happening, obviously it just, you know, strikes a chord in me with my children to be able to defend the faith that they have. So I was calling to see if you gentlemen would recommend for me an apologetics course, curriculum, study book, or just an overall discipleship book for my 13-year-old daughter and my 16-year-old son.
Lindsay, thank you. And I'll let Alex answer, but I heard that as well, Frank Turek interviewing this, and it was powerful and good. And Alex, I know Frank's a friend of yours, and I've met him and talked with him. But Lindsay, thank you for that. Alex, can you give a response to Lindsay?
Yeah, Frank and I have been friends for well over 30 years. And let me just say, we are really living in the golden age of apologetics. Forgive me for referencing something that I did, but I wrote a book called The 10 Most Common Objections to Christianity. And it's written at a seventh grade reading level. In the book is a 12-week small group study guide. There's also an appendix for parents on how to really use the study guide. And we talk about God exists, creation, the Bible is true, Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he rose from the dead. All the big topics. It's a black cover with a red X on the front, like a Roman numeral 10, the 10 most common objections to Christianity and how to answer them. And then if you Google my name on Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble, there's 21 books. And let me just say, Bert and I have another book coming out, the third I've done with Bert Harper. It's coming out next month. But Frank, Josh McDowell, Sean McDowell, J. Warner Wallace, there are a lot of good books out there on so many topics of defending the Christian faith.
Lindsay, thank you for desiring to do that and do it. And I appreciate that, and thank you for listening. Let's go to Mississippi and talk to Greg. Greg, thank you for calling.
Hey, guys, appreciate you taking my call. Yes, sir. I always admired Brother Charlie Kirk. He made the statement one time that we're not freed from the battle, but we're freed to the battle. And I just always have kind of kept that in my heart as a true believer in my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I had a physical to go through the other day, and I make it real quick. But anyway, I go in there, and there's about 15 kids looking at your phone, get a sandwich, go in there, 15 kids, 20 kids looking at your phone. And I'm really worried, and I just give it to the Lord. But we got to run, maybe have to run a broomstick up her back to give us a spine there with this generation. But I just give it to the Lord, and I thank you guys for taking my call.
Okay, appreciate it. Listen, guess what a lot of these kids are listening to? They were listening to Charlie Kirk. That's what's amazing. I was listening to a program yesterday, and she was going to get on to her child for being on the internet, and she looked over, and he was listening to Charlie Kirk, and she said, I take that back. So yeah, there are some great things going on, and I appreciate that so much. Alex, let's go to Tennessee. James, thank you for calling.
Yes, sir. Thank y'all for taking my call. I was about 5 or 7 minutes ago. I don't know. I think it was one of y'all there said on the station that you wish God would just give us intervention, basically, for at least another 250 years before Christ comes back. Is that what I understood you to
well,
say?
Well, I'm the one that said it. I said if the Lord doesn't come back, we'd have 250 more years as a nation. But come quickly, Lord Jesus. Go ahead, mm-hmm. James.
So where what I was kind of lost on was where the 250 come from. Could you further explain? I'm just trying to learn here.
America has 1776. So next year in 2026, we'll celebrate 250 years as a nation. That's where it came from.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
We're doubling that.
Yeah.
I was over here like, hang on. You know, I went back to Matthew and Mark here.
I wasn't cutting a 1,000-year reign short. James, yes, sir. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, James, for calling. Okay, let's go to Rebecca. Rebecca, are you from Charleston, South Carolina?
No, Florence.
Okay, didn't know. Florence, okay. Well, go ahead, Rebecca. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, prayer for Charlie Kirk and his family. I've been burned just like everybody else.
Well, we are. Listen, I don't know if he said it or somebody said it about him, but Alex, I caught this too about it. It says, don't look to the left or to the right. Now that's talking about politically, okay? Left or to the right, look up. And I think that was the first heart of Charlie Kirk, because he looked up to God and in his word, the biblical worldview came through, didn't it?
It really did, and, you know, I was with him a number of times, and we had him in a big event just 3 weeks ago, and I will say this, every time I was ever with him, listen, on stage, backstage, all the time, he constantly talked about Jesus, and he told every audience, be born again. He said, politics is boring. That's what he said. He said, I only talk about politics because I have to, but he said the real message is Jesus, and if you've never been saved. And we were on stage, he and I, and he mentioned to our audience, 17 states were represented at this thing we did 3 weeks ago, and he said, if you've never been saved, look, forget all this other heavy details, get saved, give your life to Jesus Christ. And I piped up and I said, Jesus is as close by as a prayer. We have the gospel on the website. You know, we want everybody to be saved. So, Bert, isn't that a reminder? And I know you and I do this, but look, everybody, our message is Jesus.
Amen.
Christ alone. We've got a lot going on. There's family, there's job, there's our nation. A lot to be conversant on. I get it. But really, Bert, I spoke at Columbia Bible College down in South Carolina, and on the back wall of the auditorium in gigantic letters, this is it, to know Christ and make him known.
Amen.
That's our mission, isn't it?
That is at as simple as you can get, and it is true. Hey, if you want to send in a listener story, how AFR, Exploring the Word, other program has blessed you, you can do that by calling this number, 877 877- 877-886-8893. Let me do it again. I stumbled over it. 877-876-8893. Give a call. Leave a testimony about what God has done for you using AFR. Thank you for listening to Exploring the Word. We pray that you would have a great evening, and may you tell somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.